So we're in a series entitled Aligned Hearts. Everybody say Aligned Hearts. Aligned Hearts. And our focus even for today is going to be the power of one. And another way of saying that is because this series is designed to hit all aspects of our life. We're going to hit you as singles and married people and even those of us who are part of Word of Truth Family Church. So our message title is The Power of One. If you did not get the notes today, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of those notes. If you're watching us online, there should be a link that you can click to get the notes as well. So the goal of the message today is, it's a simple message, but it's a weighty message, and its purpose is to help you and I see how powerful oneness really is, and then expose some things that, you know, break that oneness that you and I should have with God, our spouses, and our church. Because when oneness is broken, power leaks. Everybody say, when oneness is broken, power leaks. Amen. When the oneness of a tire, if a nail gets in it, it's going to leak. And so anytime oneness is broken, power leaks. And so our text this morning is actually found in two different verses. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 1, and then we're going to move over to Genesis chapter 11. So let's start off in Genesis chapter 1. And I'm reading in the King James Version. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look on the screen. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was what, church? And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the what, church? Everybody say first day. First day. So that word first is what we're going to look at. Now, when you look up that word first, it doesn't just mean in order of importance. It also means in the order of existence. So what I'm about to do is show you this word first differently so you can understand the first point that I'm going to make. So let's now move over to Genesis chapter 11. We're reading in verse 1. It says, and the whole earth was of one language. Everybody say one language. And of one speech. Everybody say one speech. And it came to pass as they, everybody say they, as they journeyed from the east, that they, everybody say they, found a plain of land of Shinar, and they, everybody say they dwelt there, and they, everybody say they said to one another, go to, let us, everybody say us, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly, and they, everybody say they, and they had brick for stone and slime, and had they for mortar, and they said, everybody say they said, go to, let us, everybody say us, let us build us, everybody say us, let us build us a city and a tower that we may reach heaven. Do you notice that this conversation that's taking place is between a group of people? Notice that they, everybody say they. Now look at your neighbor and say, you are they. They were all saying the same thing. So verse 5 says, verse 4, they said, well, let us now make a tower that may reach heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad around the whole earth. Verse 5, and so the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Let's see what the Lord's response was. And the Lord said, behold, the people is what? One. Notice that, you know, God was using Ebonics right there. The people is one. Everybody say one. Now see the word one there? It's the same word first that we read in Genesis when it says that and the evening and the morning was the first day. So that word first and this word one is the same thing. It says, and the people is one, and they have all, how many languages? One language. And this that they have begun to do, and now nothing, watch this, I want you to see the result of them being one. Nothing will be restrained from them that they have imagined to do. And so God began to confound their language, and they began to be scattered in verse 8. And of course, they named that place Babel. Now, all of the words that said one in that verse is the same Hebrew word first in Genesis that we read in chapter 1, which now introduces our first point this morning, which is being one has power. Everybody say, being one has power. So the story we read has a very powerful principle of the position of having one and one having power. So let's go back to verse 1 because I want to point something out. It said the whole earth had one language and one speech. Now, there are two things I want you to notice about that. Number one, they all had one language. So for the sake of simplicity, let's just imagine that that one language was English. So everybody who speaks English, raise your hand in the room. Okay, thank you. Raise your hand online. I see your hand. Praise the Lord. So for the sake of simplicity, let's say that this group of people all were speaking English. That's the first thing I want you to notice. Here's the second thing I want you to notice in that verse. It said they all had one speech. Now, what does that mean? That means you and I make a choice that whatever words we use is the word that, listen, that comes from the language that we speak. So these people who was building this thing, they were all speaking the same language. Watch this now. And they were all saying the same words. Listen to what Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, just like I'm beseeching you, Word of Truth Family Church, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, everybody say all, that you all, read this with me, church, speak. Come on, church, that we all. That we all speak the same thing. And he says, and if we speak the same thing, there will be no divisions among you. So if you see division in a church, it's because somebody is not saying what they should be saying. And then he says, as you speak the same thing, so there won't be any division among you, you will be perfectly joined together. You will have the same mind and the same judgment. So, church, in order to stay as one, and in order for a married couple to stay as one, in order for a church to stay as one, in order for a family to stay as one, we must all speak the same thing. And this is why the Word of God is so important. Because the Word allows us, it's the guideline for us to live our life. And so this is why you and I, we must get the Word on the inside. Because the only reason what's coming on the outside is coming out because of what you put on the inside. That's why you still cussing. Touch your neighbor and say, here we go again. God is trying to get, see, if you put cussing in, cussing's gonna come. See, some of y'all need to stop listening to music that got cussing in it, and you need to stop watching movies that got cussing in it, because cussing breeds cussing. You're not strong enough to watch it yet. So the Word of God is critical because it allows us to say the same thing, which keeps our speech, watch this, in alignment with God. And so there are three areas of oneness that I want to talk about today. There are more than three, but here are the key three main areas that I want to talk about. I want to talk about oneness with God. Then I'm going to talk about oneness in one in flesh with your spouse. And then we're going to talk about one in unity with your church, the body of Christ, and the vision of church. So being one with God happens when we get born again. That's pretty simple. When you and I get saved, we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we become what the Bible calls born again. Once we're born again, that now aligns us spiritually with God. Say amen to that. Amen. And so that's why it's dangerous as a single person to date or marry somebody who's not saved. How many singles we have in the room? Raise your hand. All right. Okay, I'm coming for you right now. I'm just telling you. Then you say, Pastor, why is it so dangerous? I mean, should it even matter if, you know, if I'm dating or if I marry somebody unsaved? I could just get them saved. Well, let me read Genesis chapter 2, and then I'm going to tell you why it is dangerous of why you shouldn't be marrying or connecting with somebody unequally yoked. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, I'm reading out of New Living Translation. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It didn't say lonely, it said alone. And then because of that, God says, I will make a helper who is just right for him. I love that. Now, ladies, let me just point this out. It said a helper, not a handyman. Can I tell you why you're not married right now? Because you're not focused on being a helpmate. You are focused on needing a handyman. I need somebody to help take my trash out. I'm tired of taking my car to get an oil change. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of dropping off my kids. I'm tired of... No. You got it switched up, sister. Why are you looking for a handyman when God is trying to get you to be a helpmate? Until you change your expectations, God is going to keep you single because you're getting, listen, you want to get married to get help when you're supposed to be help. Somebody get a Lord a hand clap by faith right there. By faith. Verse 19. So the Lord God formed from the dust of the ground, Watch this now. I want you to hear the process. Before he brought this man or woman, let's see what he did. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals. Everybody say wild animals. The wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to Adam, the man, to see what he would call them. And the man chose each name for each one of them. Let's now drop down to the next verse, verse 21. So the Lord God, after the man named all these wild animals and birds, God caused him to go into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took how many, church? How many? One. Now that word one is the same word first. He took the first one, the one of the man's ribs. He did not give or take out a rack of ribs. How many ribs? One rib. Why, man of God, do you have a rack of ribs? This ain't Hutch's barbecue. You trying to get a rack. God's trying to give you one. It doesn't work like that. He took one rib from this man, and then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. Now, church, I want you to see something. Did you notice that the wild animals and the birds came before Adam's wife? Did you notice that? Well, if you didn't, if you are single, most people settle for the birds and the beasts because they don't have enough patience to wait for God's best. Can you imagine Adam trying to get with some of those wild beasts? I mean, that's crazy, ain't it? Then why are you settling for wild beasts? Because you don't have enough patience to let the beasts go by, let the birds fly by, for God to bring you his best. And you wonder why you got fleas. You're dealing with dogs. Amen. So let me explain something. When a man and a woman gets married, they become one flesh. Everybody say one flesh. They become one flesh. Watch this though. But they don't become one spirit unless they both have been born again of the spirit. So singles, if you get with somebody who's not saved, you will never be able to be spiritually one with them because they have not been born again of the Spirit. Say amen to that. So let's look at this word first, or one more time. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Watch this now. This is for my married people. And Adam said... This is a continuation of what we read. Adam said when God brought Eve to him, this is now bone of my bones. She's now flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Watch verse 24. Here comes that word one and first. Therefore shall a man leave his father and leave his mother. Therefore, listen, let me just input this, single people. If you meet him and he's still living with his parents, give him a rain check. Well, he could just move out when he's with them and move with me. That's the problem. He should have his own place. God gave Adam a place to be while he was on the earth before he had a job. And he had the whole Garden of Eden to take care of. Well, Pastor, I know, you know, I just met him. He, you know, he's just in a tough season. Let the season pass, sister. I'm trying to help somebody. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and leave his mother and cleave to who, church? His wife. Read this part with me. And they, everybody say they. And they shall be one what? See that word one? It's the same Hebrew word first. He was saying when a man and a woman gets married, they shall be one first. So remember now, in a marital relationship, if the couple is to be first, that means the kids are not supposed to be first. And that's when problems start. Have you ever flown on a plane? If you've flown on a plane, raise your hand. If a plane flies, okay. All right. Have you ever heard them say the speech, you know, if for some reason pressure in the cabin falls, oxygen mask will come out of the ceiling, and if you are an adult, what does it tell you to do? You put the mask on who first? You first. And if you have children, when do you put theirs on? Second. And see, some of y'all right now, see, in reality, you'd be like, well, nah, I'm going to put it on my kid first because they can't do it. See, that's why your marriage is struggling, because you got junior first. God did not design children to replace the marriage. And if you put the children first, which lots of times parents do that, the problem is you now get out of oneness, watch this, with each other. Because now, if the kids come first, you split yourself up. So you get out of oneness with each other, and watch this, and you get out of oneness with God, because that is not the order in which he made the family. And so there are some married couples in the room right here. This is your relationship family check. God is saying, put those kids back in the place they're supposed to be, which is behind you at number two. Say amen to that. So we can see here that God ordained the married couples to be one. And this is why the Bible says a threefold cord is hard to be broken, because it should be the man, his wife, and his spouse. That's how God designed the family to flow. So once you allow your kids to get you out of sync with each other, this now gets you out of alignment with God's design, which now brings us to point number two, which is cross-contamination causes oneness separation. I'm going to say it again and I'll explain it. Cross-contamination will cause oneness to have separation. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm going to show you that there is one thing that is big that will cause a family, that can cause a church, that can cause an organization, that can even cause a person to become contaminated. So let me first define the word cross-contamination. It means something unwanted has been transferred from one thing to another thing, causing pollution, infection, or even compromise, especially when it should have stayed separate. That sounds like an STD to me. Wow. Ooh. That was strong, wasn't it? I mean, think about it. An STD is something unwanted
that has been transferred from one thing to another thing that caused some pollution, infection, or compromise. That also sounds like gossip to me. I mean, gossip is sharing information about someone else that isn't yours to tell, especially when it harms their reputation, spreads speculation, or invites judgment, whether the information is true, exaggerated, or straight out false. Gossip is bad. And it will contaminate a pure heart. Say amen to that. So just like putting the kids first, and that causes a misalignment in a marital relationship, there are things that you and I do to get out of alignment with God, get out of alignment in our relationships, and get out of alignment with others and even church vision. So here's the question that hopefully everybody in the room can answer, because it's the key to this point that I'm trying to make. Here's the question. What did God do to stop these people from building that tower? What did he do? Speak up. He confounded their language. In other words, he changed the language that they were speaking. And when he changed the language that they were speaking, they were unable now to say the same things. Say amen to that. So in Genesis 11, it talks about that. But here's what I want you to see. In verse 6 of Genesis 11, it says, "And the Lord God said, behold, the people are one." That's the same word first. But notice, because they were one and they had one language, notice what he says, nothing will be restrained from them. And so that's the power of one. When you stay in unity with yourself first. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do I be in unity with myself?" See, most singles, they're divided. You know why you're divided? You have a divided life because you have a divided mind. And once your mind is divided, your life will be unstable, because a double-minded man is what? Unstable. So most singles are not even one with themselves. And you say, "Well, how do I become one with myself?" You have to believe what God's word says about you, regardless of what your background is, regardless of what happened to you growing up, because of what people have said. That stuff don't matter. What matters is what God says about you. Amen. So God, watch this, he changed their language, which now made it impossible for them to be saying the same thing. So it is safe to say they were able to say the same thing. Watch this now, because I'm getting ready to make a hard left. It's safe to say that the reason they were able to say the same thing is because they all had the same vision of building a tower. So I'm going to do something that rarely happens. And so when this happens, I want you all to clap real hard, so maybe it can happen again in the future. But I'm going to ask First Lady to come up on the stage and join me. Come on, y'all clap for First Lady. Woo-wee. Look at those shoes and how they match the dress. She's going to squeeze my hand and say, stop that. Okay, so I am going to do my best to illustrate how you can speak the same language but not be saying the same words. And then I'm going to demonstrate what those people did. They had the same language and they spoke the same thing. So I'm going to ask First Lady. She and I are going to describe this podium and what it's for in our own way. Are you ready, baby?
I'm ready. Good morning.
All right. So why don't let's start. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
Well,
it's circular. It's modern.
It's tall. It's probably about 4 feet, maybe 4.5 feet.
It's got fabric on
the bottom is silver.
It's a tabletop.
The top is black.
And it can be yours.
But this is actually some fabric right here.
It's holding
and
a stand.
And then it's
pretty
sitting
sturdy,
with
but
my iPad on top
skinny.
Of it. Okay, stop. See, some of y'all trying to figure out who I'm going to listen to. I'm going to listen to First Lady because I hear Pastor all the time. Was that very difficult to comprehend? Because watch this. We were not designed to hear with double ears. And that's what a mind looks like that is trying to think about two different things at the same time. It's unstable. So now we are about to exercise what made that group, watch this, What they were doing was so powerful that God had to come down and stop them. He said, oh man, they're in unity. They are one. Nothing's going to be impossible. So she and I are about to do the same exact thing. But watch how we do it this time.
This high boy table is being utilized as a pulpit.
So the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached from the Word of Truth Family Church, where the vision is to know Christ and to make him known. We spoke the same language. We said the same thing. And that's what the power of one is about. Y'all give First Lady a big hand clap. Thank you, baby. We were able to do that because Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are in agreement? Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain so whoever read can run with it. So if you are a married couple, you got to sit down and talk. You can't always talk on the run. Say amen. And listen, you got to say the same thing. Well, so you say, oh, pastor, what's the same thing? Listen, here's the same thing. Here it is. So last week, I wasn't here. You say, well, pastor, what happened? Well, during the freeze, y'all remember the freeze? During the freeze, we have propane at our house. We're on automatic fuel. That means we should never run out of propane. I shouldn't ever even have to monitor my tank because the company has a machine. They got all the things hooked up to it. They know how much. They know when I run low, but I don't trust the company. That's why a week and a half before the freeze, I started calling and emailing. We'll be there tomorrow. No tomorrow. We'll be there the next day. No next day. Freeze comes, we run out of propane. No heat, no gas, no hot water. For 4 days. So we had to buy some heaters or keep the ones we had and try to, and you can't heat our house with no little flow heater. Unfortunately, I got a cold and it was bad, right? So I'm at home watching online like some of you. When I get done, First Lady comes home. Soon as she comes in the bedroom, lift your hands, man of God, right now. Father, say what? Say right here. This is what she said. Say, I'm healed. I'm healed. I mean, she's everything that the Bible says about being whole and healed. She made me say it. Why? Because faith comes how? By hearing. And then she took out the communion cup and said, here, take communion. Father, we thank you that this represents the blood, the body of Jesus here. Because when you speak the same thing, power takes place. Say amen to that. So, God confounded their language, which stopped them from saying the same thing, which, watch this, church, because I'm really trying to get you to get this. Words are the things that can contaminate your life. So let's now go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, okay? It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, notice he went to her first, has God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, we shall not eat it or touch it lest we die. Here is where now her life is going to get out of sync with God. And when your life gets out of sync with God and you are married, you will get out of sync with your spouse. Let's see what happened. He said, you shall not surely die. And because she believed it, it contaminated her. And you know what happened? It got both of them out of sync with God. And here's the problem with that. Whatever promise God has made a couple who's in sync with him and they get out of oneness with him, then watch this. Whatever the promises of marriage are, you now are out of alignment to get it. In other words, the help that you're going to need, because let me tell you something, if you marry, you're going to need some help. Single people, if you ever want to know if you're saved, get married. And all the married people say, amen. Amen. Once they got contaminated with the enemy's word, it took them out of position of oneness with God and one with each other. So here's my question to you as a church now, because I'm shotgunning. I'm going to hit married people. I'm going to hit single people. Now I'm going to hit us as a church. Touch your neighbor. Say, he's talking to you right now. What have you heard that have contaminated your first position with God? What influences have you caused or has caused you to get out of a place of oneness? Here's some married people. Who is the fourth voice in your relationship? Remember, you had Adam, you had Eve, and you had God. The enemy came in and contaminated their relationship. Who's the fourth voice in your relationship? Is it that girlfriend that's been divorced 5 times? And I ain't against, you know, I understand divorce. But how's she going to help you keep your man if she can't keep 5? Or is it your homeboy who said, man, you at home too much, man. You need to get out. You henpecked. How many remember that term, henpecked? That's too old for some of y'all. Here's a question for the married people. Is your past trauma causing present drama? Why are you so suspicious when old boy ain't done nothing? But because old boy. You got old boy, and then you got old boy. Old boy was sneaking and tripping and dipping and slipping. And now your husband is 1 minute late. The traffic light was a little longer. He didn't catch it today. You all right? Where you been? What time you leave? You left work at 4:44 because you called me. Did you come straight home? And you watched the dude because you got on his phone. What do they call it? What do they call it? Tracking? What is it? You watched him. From work all the way home. Is your past trauma causing present drama? Here's number 2. What lie have you believed that is causing dysfunction in your marriage? What lie have you believed? Here's number 3. What upbringing familyisms were you raised with that were either not biblical or was properly imbalanced that you're still living your life by? I mean, it might not have been bad growing up, but you have overrated it for your relationship. You know, some things are familyisms, and we done made it Bible. You know, like, you ever heard, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's what the Bible say. That ain't even in the Bible. Now, you need to take a bath now. Don't get me wrong. You need to take one and put some deodorant on after that. But what did your family and how was your family raised that you done bled over into your relationship and now you are running your relationship by it when it should have stayed in your family with your mama and your daddy? Okay, let me get on the singles now. Here's a take-home statement for the singles. What you tolerate will eventually contaminate. Amen. Ladies, are you looking for an HIM or an ATM? I'm going to let that simmer. So y'all, unless you don't know how to spell. Do you know how to spell? HIM, what does that stand? What does that spell? Him. Do you want an HIM or an HTM? ATM, see. I'm telling you, I had a meeting with one of our single ladies. Look straight. You won't know who it is. And literally, they, Pastor, I feel like I need to get married. It's my season. I'm like, well, why do you feel that you need to get married? Pastor, I'm tired of picking up my kids by myself. I'm tired of taking my car to the gas station. And she naming all this stuff. I say, listen, you don't need, you ain't trying to be no help me. You want a help handyman. Can I say this? God would not bless you with anything that does not meet the criteria of his word. Until you change your expectations from wanting a handyman over to being a help me. Because see, some of y'all, your life is jacked right now. I ain't married no man. I got to pick up clothes after him. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Ain't his mama. Exactly. The problem is his mama wouldn't pick his clothes up. Ain't his mama. Exactly. His mama didn't pick his clothes up. You are his help me pick them up. I ain't his slave. Well, what's a help me? Be creative with it. Buy a clothes basket and put it right by his bed. Train him to drop the clothes in the clothes basket. If he don't get trained, fine. Pick the clothes up off the ground. Put it in the clothes basket that's right next to his bed. He's going to get tired of tripping over the clothes basket. What's my point? What's my point? What's my point? My point is you are expecting to get before you are ready to give. The whole point of marriage is to serve. What do slaves do? They serve. I ain't no slave. You are. We are. We're all bond servants of Jesus Christ. So let me close with this. Being one brings blessings. Psalm 133 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands the blessing. I want you to notice that God doesn't suggest the blessings in unity. He commands the blessing. Listen, so let me tell y'all a quick story real quick. So I've been looking for Landon a car. He's 16, got his driver's license, the whole nine. I've been looking for him a car since last year. Right? And the criteria for the car is so narrow. I mean, it's very stringent, right? Because it's connected to a lot of stuff. Okay? 16-year-old boys are more harder to insure than girls. So, from the color of the car on the outside, the color of the interior on the inside, the year of the car needed to be certified. I mean, there's so much criteria on the car. And I got tired of looking. Now, honestly, I didn't pray about it when I started. See, I'm not like some people, you know, they got to pray, Lord, let them look past my credit. They don't need to look past my credit. I got good credit. I don't really have to pray about the resources to buy the car. I got that too. So, I just started on the journey until I got tired. And I did this. I said, Lord, please, this is about a week and a half ago. I said, Lord, please help me find a car for Landon. And I stopped looking at that point. So Tuesday of this week, I told Landy, I said, Landy, hey, I'm going to pick you up from school on tomorrow, which will be Wednesday. And he's like, okay, Dad. So I get a text message from one of the sales reps that I had worked with. And he texts me and says, Mr. Connor, have you found a car for your son? I said, no. I didn't even ask him, did he have anything? I just said, no. The next day, which was Wednesday, that morning, he sends me a profile of a vehicle. I clicked on it, and every single criteria of that vehicle fit what Landon and I needed. And, watch this, it was half of the price that I was willing to pay. Watch this. God was waiting on me, listen, to get in oneness with him with this transaction. He was waiting on me. See, the scripture says, in all of your ways, do what? Acknowledge him, and what's going to happen? He will direct your path. I was not in oneness in this transaction. God is one in my life. Let me tell you what I was doing. I trusted my stuff. I leaned on what I had for my, everybody lean over to somebody, just lean. How many of you are leaning on your stuff? So let me show you how God is, because he does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Not only was the car certified already for another year, I was able to buy it for another 2 years. So now his car is certified for 3 years. I won't be having a fix on the car. But let me show you how good God is. On the way to the dealership, the guy said, well, what time do you want to come by and sign the paperwork? I said, here's what time. I said, I'll Uber up there. Not realizing that it was going to time out in such a way that I was going to be able to pick Landy up from school in his own car. He gets in the car. He's like, oh, this ain't Dad's car. He gets in the car, and I said, here you go, Landy. This is your car. But here's where it gets even better. Last year, around the end of last year, I gave Pastor Lisa a task to look for us another church van. We already have one. We needed another one. And you just say, well, why do we need another church van, Pastor? Because in 2025, and I am not happy about this number right here, but in 2025, our church grew so much that we had to hire a shuttle service to get us back and forth. We were still using our shuttle, but we had to hire a shuttle service. That was costing us roughly $1,000 a week. Watch this, church. We spent $61,000 last year on a shuttle service. I said, the devil is a lie. So I called the sales rep. I said, listen, do y'all have any vans? Now, Pastor Lisa was looking, but they're hard to find. There's criteria for that, too. Long story short, because I'm out of time, I called the guy. He said, guess what? I just got one in. He says, your timing is impeccable. I said, explain it to him. What color is it? Black, check. They wanted diesel. What kind of gas in it? Diesel, check. Is it certified? Yes, it is. Check. What's the price on it? Oh, that's a good price. Then we start negotiating, but we got a half a check right now. Long story short, I closed on two cars this week. Our church has its second van, and now we won't have to use that shuttle service no more. We saving $61,000 this year. Ain't nobody happy but the pastor. Praise the Lord. Church, when you get in sync with God, you obey his word, it is going to kill your flesh. It is going to kill your pride, because there are some of you who are married and you have too much pride to even say you're sorry so you can get back in sync with each other. Wow. Listen, I almost let pride ruin that van deal. We negotiated, and he was like, I'll give you $2,000 off. I wanted $2,500 off. He said, well, we can't give you the extra $500. And so this is my text. He says, you know what? If you're good with the $2,000, we can move. But if not, I understand. I text him back and says, I'm not good with it. I said, if you want to lose a deal for $500, so be it. I told Pastor Lisa about it. She was like, Pastor? I said, Pastor Lisa? I'm going to let you call this guy, but I am not going to let my pride, because we don't want to lose if we don't get the deal. I said, go on and call him back. I ain't going to call him back. You call him back. I wonder how many of you in this room are letting pride keep you and your spouse from being in sync together. So you can look on your notes to see how to apply this, but I want everybody to bow your head right here, right here. Father, whatever it is that is keeping single people from staying in oneness with you, that is keeping marriages from staying in unity with each other, Because when the marriages are off, the family's off, the children are off, everything about it is off. I pray in Jesus' name that we will lower our pride. And you said, you will exalt the humble and you will give them grace. Thank you for grace.